Mordecai Ham. Have any of you folks ever heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Yeah. Billy Sunday? Yeah. Billy Graham? Yeah. D.L. Moody? Yeah. Bob Andrews? Yeah. Okay, got that. Way back when, D.L. Moody was so burdened to get Sunday school started in America, he got one started. He had a class of over 200 boys. But anyway, D.L. Moody's Sunday school teacher led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Moody had a great deal of influence on Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had a great deal of influence on a man named Billy Sunday. You remember him? Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player. He was the type, and this is true in his biography, at least they write it, that he would thunder from the pulpit, and guys used to sit on the front row and make fun of him while he was preaching. He finally got tired of it one Sunday, and he said, let me tell you something. He walked down out of the pulpit. He said, if I can't preach the hell out of you, I'll beat it out of you. And went back to the pulpit and went to preaching. Billy Sunday got saved. And after Billy Sunday came a man named Mordecai Ham. Back in the 20s and 30s, I used to listen to him early in the morning, old tapes. After Mordecai Ham came Billy Graham. They say that Billy Graham preached to more people, no matter how you feel about him, than anybody in the world. He preached to an estimated 2 billion people. So it all started with one man who had a burden for his Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher went out and won D.L. Moody, and the tale goes on, as they say. So you may think, well, I'm in a small church in a small community. I really don't have that much influence, but you have a lot more than you may think. So I said this morning, if your light is shining brightly, people are paying attention. And if your light's a little dull, they're still paying attention. They're trying to figure out that what we got is real. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you it is real. It's 10 minutes till 7. I should be finished by 9 minutes till. You'll get that when you get home. Yeah, 1 minute. But I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a familiar story. And I want to share with you just a few moments on gazing at Goliath or looking at God. I am thankful. I started out early. I figured, hey, if I'm going to break down again, I need the time. Fortunately, I didn't have to lay down on the road in the cold wind. Everything went smoothly getting here, and I hope it goes smoothly going home. If it doesn't, I'm going to call Chris and tell him to come and get me. But got here. Matter of fact, they got here. That young lady over there was cleaning. Wasn't nobody here. And I thought, well, am I still running on regular time? And I got here about 5:45, so I said he had a chance to look over. Let me say, too, while you're getting 1 Samuel 17, I appreciate all you're doing. You are in my prayers. You're on my prayer list. Pastor Boone and his family in this great church that God has given you. How long has he been here? Too long. How many? 26 years. I talked to a pastor the other day. He's been in his church 30. Another pastor has been in his church 25. I tell you, when you get a good preacher, it's hard to get rid of him. And all joking aside, I think this is being recorded, so he'll send me some more money. He's a fine fella. He really is. He's a fine fella. Remember when they were looking for a pastor, you folks were, and you couldn't find anybody, so you took Daniel Boone. So, you know, that's the way it is. But he's been faithful in serving the Lord, and certainly over these 25, 26 years, he has asked me many times to come. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 2, we're going to begin with verse 2. That's not what I'm looking for. Just hang on a minute. Verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's almost 10 feet. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing the shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I a Philistine? and you servants to Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And then if you'll jump down into verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the faithful that are here. I thank you, Lord, all over America, the church is still open. God, you promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I pray, Lord, that you would clear my mind, the minds of these good people, Lord, that we might listen to the Spirit of God and, Lord, be the champions you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You've read all about it, I'm sure, many times. They looked at Goliath's size. He was almost 10 feet tall. He wouldn't clear that doorway back there. And the whole army was afraid of him. All of Israel was afraid of him. I was helping a family move some time ago, I guess about a year. They had 8 kids. All of them still home. And I'm sitting on a stool in the kitchen. Everybody's standing around jabbering, people that come to help the family move. And there was a little 8-year-old girl. She climbed up on the stool next to me. We were eating subs and we were talking. And she looked up at me with these adoring blue eyes. And she said, Preacher Andrews, I got a new name for you. Now, take my word for it. I've been called every name you can think of, good and bad. And I said, what's that, sweetheart? And she said, from now on, I'm going to call you champion. Well, I had her tell some deacons that at Clearbrook. They couldn't believe it. And to this day, she still calls me champion. And I said, why am I a champion to you? And she said, because you're faithful to God. This is an 8 or 9-year-old girl every Sunday. So I thought tonight, I wonder how many people at Valley are chickens, you know, the kind that cluck, or they're champs. They're not afraid of nothing. Now, folks, I know what it's like to face giants. Some of you people are facing giants in your life right now. You don't know how to handle them. I mean, what you see is a giant, but what you don't see is the great God that we have. We just said, and we say every service we come, that God is good all the time, and God really is good. So if you looked at yourself and just looked at your life, would you say, I've been a champion for the Lord, or I've been a chicken? Every time it's to be a soul winner, I back out. Every time there's time to give money, I back away. Every time I have a marital problem, I back away. I try to deal with it myself. Whatever it might be, verse 11 says, we can be a chicken or we can be a champ for Jesus Christ. Now, personally, I want to be a champ for the Lord. As I said this morning, I've been in ministry since I was 15, teaching and preaching the Word of God all these years. Today, by the way, you had the honor of being the very first place I've ever been to that I broke down before I got here. You're the very first ones. I hope you're the very last ones. Or if I break down again, it's warm enough that I don't have to lay alongside the road. So you listen to the world, and the Word of God says, and if we study our Bibles, that if you listen to what the world is saying, we're in deep trouble, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, blah, 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 and our world is in bad shape, but God is still in control. So what giant are you facing tonight? What's looming out there that you're just having a hard time getting your spiritual eyes on God and your physical eyes off that problem that may be in front of you? If you look at verse 26, David called them the armies of the living God. He said, you've come out to defy the living armies. I read for verse 40 for a reason. David had 5 stones, and I'm sure the pastor has taught you, if you go back and study the Word of God, Goliath had 4 brothers. So David is not only going to go out there and face Goliath, but he's going to take every 4 brothers if they show up. This is a little tiny 15, 16-year-old teenage boy that kills a 10-foot giant and then climbs up on his chest and chops his head off with this giant sword and carries it back as victory because he had heard from God. Are you looking at the giants so much tonight that you don't see what God is trying to say? That, as I said this morning, that was me. I've confessed it. It's under the blood. I pray I never have to do that. I'll never do that again. But I got angry with God when my wife died, until God reminded me, this is me. This is my ministry. This is what I've called you to do. And I didn't really retire. I retired from pastoring, but once I retired, I get to come into churches like this, stir up trouble, and leave. It's just a wonderful ministry. But I heard from God that night, and I said, Lord, what is it? What else can I do? At this late stage of the game, and I'm getting along in a few years, I don't want to mess up. It's amazing when your spouse dies how quickly others get interested in you, if you know what I mean. And I've had to do some fast running in the first 6 months my wife died. I'm not interested. You know what I've told these women? I had the best. I'm forgetting the rest. As simple as that. I don't want another woman. I'd be afraid I'd always be comparing. But my wife would call me a giant. She said, you're a giant among men. This coming Sunday, the 26th of March, will mark 45 years since we started the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Me, my wife, $160, everything we own in a U-Haul truck, came from Northern Virginia to Rocky Mountain, didn't know anybody, and we started a church. Now, a lot of people said we were stupid to do that, but we wanted to be champions. Today, the church still exists, still goes on for God. We did what God told us to do. In those early years were not easy whatsoever. We had people that they were bound and determined that God had called them to keep me straight, even though they just met me. And I tell them, hey, if my wife can't keep me straight, nobody can. Let's just leave that up to the Lord. But what's the giant you're facing tonight? Tight with money. Man, I tell you, I'd like to give some more to the church, but I just don't have it. You need to move that giant out of the way. You need to do what God tells you to do. I was telling Brother Paul at Clearbrook, I don't mind saying it, anywhere from $5,000 to $6,000 a week come into the treasury. A former pastor, he pastored there for 14 years. He's with the Lord now, but he had a son, an adopted son, and he left in his will, my adopted son's be taken care of. If he dies and anything's left in trust, it's to go to Clearbrook. Well, the son died. He was in a nursing home in Floyd. They called Pastor Brian the next day and said, we need for you to come and accept the rest of this money from the trust. Well, Brian was thinking, you know, $5,000, $6,000. $200,000. This pastor's work is still going on. He was a champion when he was living, and the memory is still a champion. He gave $200,000 was left over, and it came to Clearbrook Baptist Church. So we look at the giants. Do we have enough to pay our bills? Do we have enough to take care of the pastor? Do we have enough to take care of our family? All kinds of things come in the way. So David saw God. He didn't see the giant. Maybe that's what you need to think about tonight. Are you looking at the giant in your life, or are you looking at God in your life? God can overcome anything. The Bible says in the New Testament, there's nothing impossible with God. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100, or 99, and she had a baby. Now, how would you ladies like to have a baby at 99? You had no problem with the ones you have. They believed God. They trusted God. They saw the giant. Sarah was way past barren children age. And she said, why don't you take Hagar, my handmaiden, and go in into her and have a child. Well, Abraham listened to his wife. Bad mistake, because we're still paying for it, because Hagar's descendants are the Arabs. And the Arabs and the Jews are still fighting thousands of years later. So what giant are you facing? To be saved, you have to look past the obstacles. The first years we were in Franklin County, I didn't work outside the church. My wife worked at a sewing factory part-time, and we would just wait on God. Lord, the gas tank getting a little low. In would come money. Lord, we need some food. A little money would come in. Lord, there's not quite enough to pay church bills. Money would come in. I rented a building in 1978 for $400 a month. And we had $5 in the church treasury that I'd put in to get the treasury started. $5. And before the month was up and I signed the lease, God sent in all we needed. we knew that God was in it. We looked past the giants. Now, in Franklin County, if you ever there, smell the water before you taste it. It could be corn liquor. It really could. Somebody offered that to me one time. To be saved, the Word of God says we have to look past obstacles. That's what I was telling this morning about my nephew. Got to look past what he doesn't want to believe. And you say, well, how can anybody hear about Jesus and not accept him? They believe the lie of the devil. Just like some of you, oh, we're going down here. I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, look past the pastor, look past the giants, look past the problems, and look at God. You stay faithful to God, and God's going to do some wonderful things. He may not do it in your lifetime. It may be 50 years from now, but God's work never fails if we remain faithful to the work of God. So we have to look at Calvary. Jehovah's Witness came by the house the other day. Y'all know who they are. They were going to give me some literature. I said, well, I appreciate that. Is this literature for me? Yes, sir, it's for you personally. I said, thank you, ma'am, and I tore it up. She said, why are you tearing it up? I said, because of the damnable heresy you're teaching people from door to door. It's too bad we don't have Jehovah's Witness feet because they go all the time to tell people about the truth about our Savior. But we look at that obstacle, and some of us don't know our Bible well enough to meet them head on and to tell them what they're teaching is not right. So we look at the giants and we let it pass. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord, what? Shall be saved. That's to make a request. People don't get saved because they're blinded by the eyes of the devil. When I was, as I told you this morning, when I was in South America, Pastor Jerry Young, he's retired and living in Carolina now, well into his 90s. And this was the last Stone Age tribe that the public knew about. Deep in the Amazon, they didn't wear clothes. They didn't know what clothes were. Nothing. Spears, bow and arrows, the whole nine yards. Soon shoot you and kill you and eat you, look at you. Anyway, we're talking to a witch doctor around the fire one night. And he said, I know why you have, America, what you have, and why we live in this jungle being eat up by bugs. And I said, what's the reason? He said, because we knew about the Supreme One. Thousands of years ago, God revealed himself to them. And what did they do? They rejected him and moved into darkness. The poorest nation in the hemisphere right now is Haiti. They had the gospel, but they rejected it and turned to voodoo. And look where they are now. And America is well on its way to turn away from the living God. And we still have the light. We don't have to worry about the giants. Certainly don't have to be afraid of the government. We have to respect the government. We have to pray for the government, but we don't have to be afraid of them because God is greater than the government that we have. So look past the giant of sin. Well, I'm just too big a sinner. You ever hear somebody say, I'm just too big a sinner to ever be saved. When I get my life straightened out, I'll come to Jesus. And they believe the lie of the devil, and they wait too late, and they die in their sins, and they go to hell. The people that used to come to church, that love God, that serve the Lord, they sat where you're sitting, no longer come, are out in the world, living in sin. What happened to them? They took their eyes off the light. You take your eyes off Jesus. You look at the giants that's in your life, and it won't be long before you quit on God. And God doesn't want that. And then in verse 34, David already knew, and he had already seen the power of God. You remember, and you can read it when you get home for time's sake, but he said there was a time when a bear come. There was a time when a lion come, and I took the lamb out of their mouth, and I slew them by hand. Now, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does this guy think he is? Size did not bother him. He went up against the giant. Why? Because he believed that God was greater than the giant he was facing. Are you? Do you believe that God is greater than the giant that you're facing tonight? And folks, I've been down the path where we had an adopted daughter, and for the first 6 months we fed her spaghetti. That's all we had. And sauce, no meat. To this day, she will not eat spaghetti. But it's all that we had, and we said we're not going to starve. God continually, miraculously, in a great way, continued to take care of me and my wife. And to this day, God continues to take care of this preacher. I refuse to let a giant. When I called Daniel Boone this morning, about 20 minutes after 9. And I said, I don't think I am going to make it. I heard the panic over the phone, and he never said a word. He said, what's wrong? I said, well, I'm sitting on 581, something's wrong with the car. Well, if you can make it to Route 11, I'll send somebody after you. You know, he always has a way out of it. Well, I made it to Route 11, and I got here, of course, and all the things that went on today. I really believe this. Somebody left Valley View Church this morning unsaved. Somebody left out of the will of God. Satan did everything he could to stop me, but I got here anyway. You know why? Because I believed God. I trusted God that God would do what he said he would do. That was David in verse 34. He had complete confidence in God. Moody used to say this in Job, and he took it from the book of Job. He said, never give up, never give in, never give over. If the stars fall from heaven, trust God. And that's what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, though he take my life for his reason and his purpose. Is there anybody here tonight that understands completely the will of God for your life? No. But you accept it as what God's told you to do. He's told you to teach a class, drive a bus, clean the building, do whatever God is telling you to do. Now, I told Brother Paul, I love pastoring. It's the greatest job in the world. Would have been even greater if I hadn't deal with any people. But that's part of the job. And I enjoy what I do now, going to churches and sharing the word of God. Here's this giant. He said, you just come to me, little fella, and I'll feed you to the fowls of the air. David looked at him and said, yeah, right. I see you, big guy. You come to me with all that armor and all that spear and all that stuff you got. I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. That's the way we defeat the devil. I put a sign up in Brookney. I was pastoring a church down there, a small church. And this I believe with all my heart. Satan can do just about anything, but he can't cross the bloodline. When he hears about the blood, and you should listen to these saved witch doctors in the Amazon as God has reached down and miraculously and wonderfully saved them and saw their lives change and all the things that they went through and how the demons would come in and fill their chest and just possess them. And that's they would take dope. Dope goes along with sex and dope. And then they would dance around and they'd call the demons and the demons would come and give them the power. The witch doctor didn't have any power. All his power came from Satan. All his power came from demons. Let me tell you, I've met some unsaved people, not only in the Amazon, but in America, that I'm convinced they're possessed. And I was playing my Christian music back last fall on the front porch because there was some foul language coming next door. So I'll take care of that. I'm sitting on the porch reading. The more they cussed, the louder I turned the music up. And they finally came over and they said, will you turn that music off? It bothers us. I said, if you stop cussing, I'll turn the music off. Well, I won't turn it off, but I'll turn it down. And they stopped cussing. You see, they have no power. People equalize God and Satan. They're equal. There's no equalization there whatsoever. Jesus is the creator. Satan is the created being. The archangel who rebelled against God eons ago. His goal tonight is to damn you. If he can't damn you, he'll get you not to serve God. And let's face it, most of us, except for those that are here under the age of 35, most of us, most of our life is behind us. What have we got to look forward to? When we stand before the Lord and God, that giant was there and I couldn't get past him. And God's going to say, it wasn't that you couldn't, it was that you wouldn't. You let the giant scare you. Look at it from God's point of view, not from your perspective, but what God says. You know, Acts, the first 10 chapters, 10 times it says they came together, one accord, one heart, unified. That's what you are tonight. You may not have as many as you had this morning or last week or a year ago, but you're here in unification. You came to hear, and I'm convinced somebody is facing a giant tonight. The key to your success and mine is prayer, teamwork equals success. If you're in it to get what you can get out of it, best stay out of it. you have your reward. But if you're in it to serve God, to bring God glory and bring God honor, it's a whole different story. Then finally, I want you to look at verse 45 again. David looked about. David saw. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of fair complexion. There's a lot of people don't think young people can serve the Lord. That says different. Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest with me with staves? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give you a flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Every time you go after people of God, pastor, whoever it might be, you're going against God. Don't worry about your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for your church. Pray for your leaders. Not when they get sick, but pray for them all the time. This is the first time that I can remember being at Valley after all these years that I didn't see Stanley. Of course, I know where he is. But Stanley would always come up to me. I think he was trying to throw me a hint. He's probably watching this on Facebook. He'd always give me a whole row of breath mints. And thinking, wonder what he's trying to say to me. I thought I used my mouthwash before I got here, but I miss Stanley. All will know that God is real. When you stand for God, then I'm going to look. I had a pastor tell me a few months ago, he said, well, Lighthouse Baptist Church is your legacy. No, it's not mine. It's God's. Long after I'm gone, if those people remain faithful, people will keep getting saved. We started with $5 in their pocket, didn't know anybody, and when I left 15 years ago, they'd gone about 170 and had over $1 million worth of paid for property. I didn't do that. I'd go to them and say, we got to build again. We got to raise some money again. We got to do this. We got to start a Christian school. We got to do all these things. It was all done by God, because when then I looked at that giant and Front Royal, Virginia, 27 and 29 years old, everybody said, you can't do it, except her mother and my grandmother. The only ones that believed. My mom didn't believe I'd stay. My preacher didn't believe. They didn't even give us support. But we went anyway. And you know what? I'm glad we faced that giant. I faced that giant this morning. Now, folks, may not mean anything to you, and we laugh about it, but I've never missed a meeting yet that I've been asked to do. And I'm laying alongside that road, and I'm praying, God, send me some help. And I was laying on my back, and I happened to roll over and look, and there come the little blue lights. Thank God for the state police. They're not here to arrest me. They're going to help me. He did help me, gave me a roll of tape, but he didn't get down on that cold ground with me. That's your job. And to fix it, and then to get in the car and say, now, Lord, please don't let that thing come loose till I get to Valley View. And 30 miles an hour for, I don't know, 40 miles. That's a long trip, especially when people are passing at 80 on Route 11. And I got here and everything went well, and God is good, and God is good all the time. Again, I thank you for all that you're doing. We will succeed when we gaze at God and not the giant. Thus, we become champions for God. My head wasn't swelled up when that little girl called me. To this day, she calls me champion. And I look back over the years at some of the things people called me, and I said, Lord, I'm glad I had enough influence on my little girl that she saw who I really was. See, you can't fool kids. Oh, you might fool them for a few minutes, but not very long. They got you figured out when you walk through the door. So, what are you tonight? Are you a champion for the Lord? Or is your middle name Chicken? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the